to the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Off the Mats Podcast. I feel weird saying that because you guys know where the fuck you are. I'm not even sure why I keep telling you it's off the mats. You know, it's look, we've been doing this long enough. You've been listening long enough. It's fine. We know where we are. Thank you for showing up to the podcast. This week, though, we are going to have a new guest, one of my Instagram mutuals. I like using the word mutual because I just heard somebody else say it and I found it very grown up. And I was like, holy shit, that's a unlock. I like it. So, you know, we pass memes around more. So I take memes, I repost them, you know, people make me laugh. And I was like, dude, I'm digging this guy's vibe. So I want to sit down and talk with Marco from BJJ Tech Nerd on Instagram and just, you know, kick it and, you know, just have a good time. So Marco, welcome to the show. How you feeling, my friend?
What up, nerds? I'm feeling good, man. Been having a couple of bad weeks, but finally having a good week. How are you, Dante? How's your day so far?
Solid. I just got back from open mats. Guys are getting ready for pans, so I was getting slammed around. And I was like, okay, guys, what do you want to work on? They beat the shit out of me. I was like, hey, I just want to work on loop chokes. And they're like, okay. Like, that's fine, I guess, loser. Like, we're working on like ninja shit and you're working on like loop chokes. So yeah, that's my day.
That's a good day, man.
Yeah, no. Yeah, any day that you can touch the mats, I think, is an excellent day. So I'm feeling pretty good. So, you know, yeah, the big thing here is like having you on, you know, like I said, just kind of chatting with you in the DMs and whatnot. I was like, I'm digging this dude's vibe. It sounds like going to be a good time. I want to know his story. So, you know, that's the first thing I want to know is like your jiu-jitsu journey. Like, what got you interested in jiu-jitsu and, you know, just the social media, you know, aspect of it too, like memes and everything.
Yeah, sure, man. Just want to say thank you for having me on your show. Feels weird being on this side of the podcast where I'm used to asking questions, but now I'll be like, all right, I can dig this. But yeah, jiu-jitsu, man, it's like your typical story where you hear people like, yeah, I watched UFC and I saw the Gracies and all that stuff. Mine was like super boring. Mine was, I broke my back after years of being married, just stopped training altogether. Like, I just didn't give a shit anymore. And I broke my back constantly over and over again, like a couple months, just like pulling my back. And one time I pulled my back so bad that I couldn't move for 4 days. I was in the bed for 4 days. And yeah, my wife had to dress me, help me put my socks on and shit. It was really bad. I was scared, Dante, to get up and go to the bathroom, just take those little steps for how much pain I was in. And from that moment, I told my wife, I can't be like this anymore. I can't be like this. I thought I was crippled. I'm like, what the fuck's going on with my core? I can't even move. But that shit lasts for at least 6 months of like, just, I couldn't move all the time. Like, putting on my socks for at least 3 months was a challenge. I had to go like into this crazy turtle position just to put one sock on. It took me like 5 minutes to put my socks on. And I just felt like scared. I felt like anyone could have mugged me at this point in my life. I'm like, and I just started like going through this cycle of depression and shit. Like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, how did I reach this level? And then I told my wife I got to do something. So that something was I wanted to do something completely different because I tried working out the good old days, like deadlifts, all that shit at the gym because I used to be a strong guy. But, you know, after 5 or 6 years, that shit breaks down if you don't train, right? So I tried that, didn't work again, got injured again. And then I'm like, okay, let's try something that can move me differently. Something that won't affect my back right away. So I'm like, okay, let's try boxing. And what do most people do? Go on Google, closest MMA or boxing gym close to your house. The reviews were good. So that was a good start. Close to my home, 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away, 5-star reviews. I'm like, yeah, not bad. So I did boxing for about 6 months, close to a year. The pain was slowly going away. But certain times I was doing like jumping jacks and like I'll get this shot of a needle or a knife like in my back. And like, okay, it's still there. But after a year, I would say the pain went away. And for some reason, I just see these guys in like spandex and the gis coming back and forth because the jiu-jitsu was in the back part of the gym and the front was the boxing side. So I always see these people go back and forth. And a couple of times I went in the back to see. And one time I saw them like sparring and stuff. I'm like, holy shit. One day I need to do this. And then one of my buddies, his name is William, who actually got me started on podcasting and jiu-jitsu. He's like, Marco, you got to try jiu-jitsu, man. You got to try it. Just try it out. I'm like, okay, let me try it out. Got murdered, as most people. I think I saw Jesus, lights, some kind of dark tunnel at the end. I don't know. But I loved it. I loved the fact that everybody was killing me. If you're 150 pounds, you're 250 pounds, it doesn't matter what weight. It was just constant, like, ninja shit. And it's like, I want this power, this knowledge. And that's what happened today. That's how I started jiu-jitsu, really. Just by me putting myself in a shitty position in my life, which most people do, that causes this big impact in the life and say, I got to do something. And then, yeah, I started from there.
Nice.
That's a not inspirational story, but that's how it started initially.
Oh, I mean, you know, it's like you said, you know, you put yourself in a bad position and then, you know, it kind of gets you to jiu-jitsu. And in jiu-jitsu, a lot of times it's, you know, being comfortable in a bad position, you know. Absolutely. So it's kind of almost opposite there where it's like, look, you're in a bad position out here in life. It's like, look, man, this sucks. I need something new. And then now you pick up a hobby where it's like, all right, you're in a bad position. It's like, all right, make yourself at home.
Yeah.
You know, it's about to get ugly. But, you know, the fact is, you know, you took a chance. You saw something. You're like, look, man, this shit sucks. Like, you know, in too many folks, they, you know, they get in a bad position. And my wife and I were just talking about this. There's some people that just, they I don't want to say they love it. That's the wrong word. But, you know, they get in a bad position and they just kind of accept it and say, this is me. And it's like, man, like how old were you when all this was taking place?
Let me see now. I think because now I'll be 38 soon. I've been doing jiu-jitsu for almost 3 years now. It's going to be 3 years. So about 34 and a half, 35. That's when we really started. That's what, like, just threw myself in the cage of lions kind of thing, I would say. But man, I still have, like, as we talk about it, I have just like flashbacks. My first round, very first round was like in the gi, and I'm a no gi guy. I've done gi probably, let's say, a dozen times, or let's say 20, but it was an Ezekiel choke, or not even Ezekiel. He took his fist and he just went like this, my gi. He just put his fist to my throat, which wasn't, now I would say, the strongest type of choke, but I guess me being in that state, I just freaked myself out and I'd never been choked before. So the impact was like, okay, I'm done. Tap. It was a 3 second tap. I still think about it. Still think about it.
There was a guy that came in for a trial and I remember getting mount. He tapped out.
Just the pressure.
I just got mount, and you know, it's the claustrophobia, you know, he's not used to it. And you know, I get that in that beginning stage.
Yeah,
you know, you get put in a choke and it's like, I've never been here before. I need to get out of here. You know, that's one of the things that I always say again, though, for people starting up, it's like when you put yourself in an uncomfortable position and it's extremely foreign, you know, and you keep coming back for it because, you know, we've been in this game, you know, most of us, long enough where we've seen people come and go, and it's like, you can almost tell sometimes when you see somebody walk through the doors, it's like, nah, they'll be here for the week and we won't see them again. But then, you know, from time to time you get an individual that's, you know, it's like a lot of wrestlers come in. Most wrestlers we see, they stick around. You do get the handful that they come in, they get choked, and it's like, I don't like this. And it's like, well, have you tried no gi? You might be more at home there. It's, you know, crazy to think, though, just, you know, in your mid-30s, though, this is happening, you know, to your body, you know, your early to mid 30s, and you're like, oh shit, like, I'm falling apart. Yeah. You know, so that's I've had some back issues recently, but not to that degree. So I can only imagine, you know, the concern that you're going through. And just basically the activity, like getting active again and moving your body differently is what, you know, was kind of the real big change up for you that helped.
Yeah. It's to be honest, like it was like a big thing. I even sometimes I think about today, like getting hurt again. But I tell my wife, now being 38, and it's hard for her to believe it. I said, I told my wife, Amanda, at 38, I've never felt this great in my life. Like, I don't even think about my back. Yes, I do get other scratches on my face. I get hurt on my shoulders and other parts of my body. But that's like, it's expected in jiu-jitsu. But we always have a fear, like, can I snap my ankle or my knee or all that stuff? But I don't really think about it too much, or my back. But yeah, down the road, it was like hard. Like, the mental game was the hardest part. Like, yeah, pain comes and goes, right? But like the mental game, like, can I continue? And even today as a blue belt, like I still have shitty days. And I'm like, why am I even here? Like I had a great 2 weeks and tonight I slipped and I lost the white belt. What the hell happened to me? Like, I suck. But shit happens, you know? And I can still get hurt. I can still lose. I can still all this stuff. But like, yeah, there's a lot of things that go through my mind. And getting hurt right now is like not one of them. And even in the beginning when I was hurt, I didn't want to make myself. I think what motivated me the most was I never felt pain like that in my life, hurting my back. And the best way Dante could explain to you is like someone did take a knife and they were drilling it in my spine and I was paralyzed. And I told myself, I cannot feel this shit anymore. And I told myself and my wife, I'm like, I can never be a father if I'm this paralyzed and that. And a funny part of the story was when I told my wife that, and I was crying, I was in pain, she was pregnant. So that was extra motivation. I'm like, okay, now I got to be inspiration to my son when he's older. And lo and behold, now he's 5 and a half and he's starting jiu-jitsu. So I'm onto something. I feel like I'm onto something now. So yeah, pain, man, it comes and goes, but I can't be scared. I can't stop now. I just can't. Especially like he's watching me now. I can't stop now. It's even more motivation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I have a 7-year-old daughter, and she always wants to come to the gym. She always wants to, you know, be active. Like people ask us, like, well, is she gonna start training? And it's like, God, like, look, man, my wife wants to put in a theater first. So she's doing her acting first. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'll get her on the mats. She's very interested in it. She sees me doing it and she's like, I want to do that. I want to do what you're doing. I think when she turned 3, maybe 4, you know, she had a little gi and it was COVID, you know, everything kind of locked down and we're doing the online, however the fuck that works. When I look back on it now, I was like, Jesus Christ, dude, like what the fuck? Like, what were we doing? But you know, like she would like get in her little gi. We had mats down here and she'd come down and do some of the drills. I remember I was one of the kids coaches at the time. Mm. And the other kids coach, you know, we were all on Zoom. And when Coach Naomi had the kids doing squats, my daughter's doing squats, and she was like, yeah, I think I'm done. Like, fuck these squats. I'm out of here. Like, everything else, like inverts, everything. She was loving it. Squats, what the fuck?
Oh, the
like,
trigger point. You...
Like, these things are dumb.
I dropped
them out. Yeah. She was just like, yeah, I'm going upstairs. So I was like, all right, that's weird, but fine. Like, and then we talked later. She was like, yeah, I was just bored. I was like, okay, well, that, you know, it has those moments. But yeah, as a parent, you know, you are that role model. So
yeah. Big responsibility, yeah. Man, now. And I told my wife a funny thing too. It's like, I never spoke about jiu-jitsu to my son or my wife. I'm like, I'm just gonna do my stuff, do my shit, and you know, if he's curious, one day he'll ask me. And I think what really got him to jiu-jitsu was, and boxing was, I did my first tournament last year and I got second place. So I had a silver medal. So that was like I want to win a medal too now. Cause he got one, and that's summertime for soccer. He likes to win the medals, right? So he saw that. And that's what got him through the jiu-jitsu boxing phase. But I never at any point like spoke about jiu-jitsu to him. I didn't want to be that parent where you got to start jiu-jitsu. Like if I ever wanted him to start jiu-jitsu, I was going to probably ask him around 6 or 7 years old. But he just wants to start. My wife asked me, you want to do boxing? You want to do jiu-jitsu? Yeah, sign me up. Did one class, fell in love. And that's it. I'm like, cool. Let's go from here. Let's see where it starts. And that's it. So far, he's still there.
Well, I mean, you know, that's good. You know, again, he sees dad doing it. You know, he sees the medal. You know, that, you know, those are the big motivators, especially for kids. It's like, because, you know, with kids, I know for me, had I been doing jiu-jitsu earlier and competing earlier, I think I have a far different path than where I am now, obviously. Mm-hmm. I always, you know, and a lot of us when we're older is like, man, I wish I'd have found this earlier in my life. It's like, yeah. Well, you know, we found it when we found it. And, you know, as the universe goes, it was the right time for us. But, you know, for our children, it's like, okay, well, if you want to do it, I know for my daughter, she does want to do it. I think my wife's like, well, look, let's, you know, do these other things first and then get her to jiu-jitsu. I know a part of my mindset to it is I don't want her to get, you know, get into it and get burned out.
Yeah.
And then don't want to do it when she gets, especially with little girls. And I don't want to sound like I'm generalizing for any of my female listeners out there. You know, girls can be competitive. Dude, I just watched a bunch of females yesterday kick the shit out of, you know, like each other. And I was worried because I was like, man, they I feel like she would put a beating on me. And I'm friendly. I'm being nice, dude. Like, don't hurt me. But it's like you do see in, you know, boys do it too. But, you know, I've seen it in, you know, quite a few females. You know, you get to a certain point, you know, around those adolescent years, you know, like life just takes a different direction. You find different interests. You're not really rough and tumble anymore. My goddaughter used to be rough and tumble, you know, when she was little. I think when she got around, I want to say maybe 15 or 16, she just wasn't that kid anymore. It's like, and then, you know, again, I don't know, you know, she didn't do jiu-jitsu or anything, but, you know, it's one of those feelings of if my daughter's doing jiu-jitsu, would that keep her in that mode, or would she also get to a certain point where she's like, I'm not interested in it? So it is a weird balance, at least for, you know, me having a daughter. But, you know, we will, you know, eventually get her into it if she's still interested. Mm-hmm. I just feel like putting her in too early, you know, might kind of burn her out at some point. Also, I'm not coaching anymore. Mm-hmm. And my wife's like, I'd like you to be her coach. It's like, that's the wrong thing. Like, yes, I cannot coach my kid. Like, because the thing is like, I can't coach friends, family, you know, or nothing like that, because it's like, I know what you're capable of, and I know when you're bullshitting. I'm going to be the hardest on you because I know what you're capable of. Whereas if you're a stranger, it's like, I don't know, but we're going to work and get you there. And I'm going to talk to you kindly, and I'm going to motivate you. But if you're family, I'm like, yo, get the fuck up, yo. I know you're better than this. The fuck are you doing? Yeah. Like, what? you know what? Give me 25 burpees now. Oh, so you want to quit on me now? Okay. All right. Cool. Hey, so how'd you get here? Oh, you rode with me. Well, now you're jogging home, bitch. I can't coach friends or family because it would just end up getting very aggressive. And then we probably wouldn't be friends or family anymore. They just like, yeah, fuck that guy. Fuck jiu-jitsu. So
yeah,
like that weird journey there.
Yeah. If I did coaching one time, and that's all it took was that one time. I did it because my son asked me. I'm like, okay, cool. I can help the kids. But if I me being coach, there's a big problem. My son relied on me to help him out. And there was the one time he almost cried. And my wife had to be there for the first class that she came to. And she was like, she was fucking livid because like she never saw her son in that position, right? So he was mounted on and he couldn't get up. And I'm just looking at him. Come on, push them, you know, push, get up. You gotta go. I can't, Papa, help. I'm stuck. I'm like, oh, shit. He almost quit. He wanted to quit. But after the class, the coach talked to him, and he said, no, I want to continue. And from that lesson, I learned not to coach again because it's better that I'm just on the sidelines just helping watch him, because the coaches, like, he'll listen more to the coaches than to me. He'll just like look for help for me. I don't want that. I don't want him to like rely on me. And, you know, sometimes you got to it's hard to say to let that little inner demon out. You can do it. And he did. And now every class we ask him, so are you happy after this class? It was hard, but are you still happy? Yes, I want to come back. Is it, we come back when? When do we come back? I said, okay, good. That's when I know I'm on something right. Whereas before, I'm like, no, no. Coaching stuff, man, especially kids.
Yeah. Especially kids. It used to be in my mind that, you know, when I used to be a preschool teacher. It's like, oh, I'm good with kids. Yeah. It's like, but coaching kids is a different beast,
yeah,
altogether. And it's just like, man, like, especially in martial arts, because these aren't regular kids.
Oh.
I don't know. I no longer coach just because, I mean, my schedule was a big part of it, but I also don't know that my heart was in it as much as I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my coach could see that. So it was like, look, man, and you know, with my schedule, I could only be there one day per week to coach. My training was starting to get less and less as well because of my schedule. And coach was just like, I hate to do this. And I was like, no, dude, trust me. I was waiting on you. But the fact is, though, you know, the motivation is still there. You know, when our kids see us doing it, you know, we may not necessarily have to coach them or guide them through it, but they, you know, mimic what we do. So if they see us working hard, they're like, well, we want to work hard too, because that's what dad does. And, you know, that's just how the tree grows.
Yeah, for sure. I think I want to continue, like, regardless of where he wants to go with this, jiu-jitsu or boxing. I told my wife's all for boxing because there's no sparring. But I told her, listen, I'm going to do my jiu-jitsu. We'll let him do once a week, one time boxing, one time jiu-jitsu. I'll burn him out. Let's see how he feels every class. Then we go from there. If he wants to go jiu-jitsu, perfectly fine. If he just wants to do boxing, I'm happy. If he wants to do taekwondo, anything, I don't care. I just want him to do something to challenge himself a little bit. And, we tried soccer. It wasn't the same. I used to do soccer, too. It's not the same atmosphere, I would say. It's not the same community as it is in martial arts. It's a different community. Just after like a little over 10 classes, I find he changed a little bit. Attitude, he's more out of his shell. And I told my wife, that's the difference. Like, that's what we want, like, him to be more comfortable with things. And it's hard now. I'll be honest, it's still hard now with him with the jiu-jitsu. But he's laughing when he gets mounted now. So he's laughing, he's having fun. So be it. We'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, the atmosphere is definitely something that's really important when you think about jiu-jitsu or, you know, grappling sports, combat sports versus other competitive sports like soccer or basketball. It, like, at least for in my experience, is like going to practice, going to a competition, there's just this community that's there where it's like, you know even though you're going to be competing against that person in moments,
yeah,
you know, there's still this love there. There's still this, you know, feel that, like, look, we are a unit. We are all here doing this thing, and we all have our different reasons for doing this thing, but we're all doing it. Whereas, like, you look at something like basketball, like AAU, you know, leagues and stuff, and then soccer travel teams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yes, you're all doing a similar thing, but I've always felt like in those environments, felt very like, you know, I got to keep my eye on the competition because, you know, they're taking my spot. You know, they might take my scholarship. You know, they might take my, you know, spot on the team, you know, things like that. And I never feel that way in jiu-jitsu. I've never felt that way. You know, it's like someone new comes up. So, like, one of my teammates, you know, one of the white belts yesterday, he was competing and he was murking cats. And I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, you know, I was like proud of him. I pulled him over to the side after his second match. I was like, yo, I just saw you go to work on that dude and we hit that rear naked choke. And my only thought was, fuck, I got to deal with this next week. But that's, you know, that's one of those, like, I'm proud of you moments, because now that's going to push me, because it's like, all right, this dude is out here choking fools. So now I got to prepare because I don't want him choking me. So. Yeah. You know, let's get to work. But again, that community there, you know, we know we're building off of each other, where, again, other sports, and, you know, again, I could be completely just looking at it way different, but this was my feel, you know, playing like football and basketball specifically, where it's like, yes, like football, maybe not, because football, I think, also is one of those things too, where we're out there, like, really putting our bodies on the line, and there was kind of a family feel there. Like, but basketball was one of those ones where I didn't really get that feeling. It was just always like, huh, I mean, we're here, we're a team, but you know, those guys over there, they're the guys over there, and we got to beat those guys. And yeah, we were friendly, but it wasn't like, all right, let's go, you know, hang out afterwards. Like, jiu-jitsu was like, yo, y'all want to get some Korean barbecue? Like, you know, like what you're trying to do after this. So
it's true though. Like, I noticed, like, even with my son, like, he did soccer, and everything in soccer, like, he was kind of happy, but he never spoke about soccer after that. Like, he never said, oh, I'm with my friend here and there. Oh, I can't wait to go back. Like, with jiu-jitsu, it's like, oh, I'm with my friend Dylan now. Or I'm with my friend this and that. Oh, we're going to go. It's, Papa, we have jiu-jitsu tonight. Papa, we have boxing tonight. We're going to go. He talks about it. So I know he's excited. And the thing is, like, from my experience with, like, of course, guys being, I'm from Canada, by the way. So Canada, hockey is, like, number one here. I'm not the greatest fan of hockey. I like more soccer back then, but you know, soccer, hockey was my thing back then. And I noticed when I used to play those sports, now being a parent and having my son play soccer that one time or that one year was super stressful. And I just saw the stress of the parents, like, go kick the ball. And some parents telling their kids, why didn't you kick the ball? Why didn't you go for it? I'm like to my wife, and then the parents like, this guy's fucking 5 years old. Like, what do you expect from him? Like, did he Maradona the soccer at 5 years old? Like, did you bet $1,000 on this game? Like, can you chill the fuck out? And it's like, what did we walk into? What did we invest in? This is not what I want for my kid. But we let him do the year. He barely touched the ball. I think he touched the ball 12 times. He picked some flowers. He made a friend, and that was it. And here we are today. But the environment, jiu-jitsu, it's like this community we speak of. I never knew when I dove into this jiu-jitsu community that there's a, like, if you do jiu-jitsu or martial arts, it's like you're instant family with other people who do jiu-jitsu worldwide. Mm-hmm. I'm still getting used to that. And it's amazing how it just grows on social media. And that's like, and from this day, I just wanted to like make fun of jiu-jitsu because I was tired of like being mounted and being killed. But this community is just crazy. People from everywhere telling me, oh, yeah, I have similar jokes and this and that. Yeah, I love it. Community, man. It's the number one thing for me for jiu-jitsu, especially for my kid.
Oh, yeah. The community, the jiu-jitsu community is so fascinating, mm-hmm. Like, especially through social media, because, you know, I have so many folks that, like, I've encountered just through the podcast alone, and it's like, you know, there's this feel of, like, okay, I know folks in Arkansas. I know folks in California. I got people in Texas and Colorado. And, you know, I got folks down there in Georgia and Florida, you know, Spain, you know, Australia now. You know, it's like, and the thing is, it's like, we speak the same language, and that language is jiu-jitsu. Mm. You know, we all understand. We all have the same sense, the same feeling of things. And we know what we're going through to some degree. Whereas, like, you know, you can't say that with a lot of other things. I don't even think, you know, being in kind of the action figure and comic book community as a comic book collector, like, I don't even really feel we completely have that in that community. We have a pretty strong community there as well. But it's like, you know, you can go to a comic book convention, you go to a Comic Con, and yeah, we're all vibing the same way to a degree, but you're also, you know, on your own splintered paths.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you show up to a jiu-jitsu competition and we're all there for the same thing, either as a competitor or a spectator or a parent or whatever. But, you know, there's this thing we're all funneling towards, and, you know, we get it. If somebody, like, oh, you know, people have shown up, oh snap, I left my rash guard, oh hold on, I got an extra one.
Exactly.
Or yeah, you know, hey, you got any tape, nail, you know, mm-hmm, nail clippers, you know, you know, my teammate yesterday, we were walking in because I rode up with him and I left my water bottle in the car. I was like, I don't really want to carry around a bunch of extra shit with me. Sure. You know, I just got my wallet, my keys. Actually, my keys are in the car, in his car. I got my wallet, you know, my phone, and, you know, I see him drinking from his water, but I was like, man, fuck. Like, I wasn't even thirsty until I saw you drinking water. I was like, I knew it. Hold on. pulls out of water. It's like, okay, cool. You know, we get over to we find a rest for our team, and like our team has like this table set up with like coffee, nice. Water, bananas, you know, like all types of shit. And it isn't just like, oh, you know, only us can. It's like, oh, just stop through, you know. You know, it's like, you know, we all family here. So, you know, stop through and, you know, we taking care of each other. And I just love that about this community. It's just like, you know, a lot of us look out for each other. I know there are some, you know, negative aspects of the community as well.
Yeah.
More so on social media than anything I see than in person. In person, I feel like everybody's pretty cool to each other. But on social media, you do run into some, you know, dickheads here and there, but I think that's only being because they're like, I'm a keyboard warrior. I'm gonna say all these horrible things. Oh yeah, trolls for sure.
Everyone's tough behind their keyboard or black belts and fucking keyboard typing. It's normal, man. No one will say that shit to your face, that's for sure.
Of course not. And the weird thing is like you said, like, you know, these folks, they're black belts and keyboard, you know, shit talking. It's like I'm very much a white belt. I don't really talk shit like that. I think that's why I get frustrated, because I'm not good at it. I'm just like, all right, let's just fight. Like, I'm not smart enough to talk shit, but like, I'm enough of a brute to like fight somebody. I might not even win, but like, that's my language. Let's fight. Like, yeah, you're going to beat the shit out of me, but at least you're going to respect me with that ass whipping. Like, but if I try to talk shit, it's like, what the fuck is this guy saying? Like, half of those words don't even belong in that sentence. I was like, I tried. My bad.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's funny, too, because I always say that people who don't train are the ones who are most frustrated in their life. They're the ones that want to start fights right away. Whereas I'm like, okay, listen, I'm just here to do what I got to do, to bring my kid to school. Like, and people are just, like, talking and, like, almost fighting with parking. It's just park your car there, dude. Why do you fucking start fighting with parents and instant people like, are drawn to fight, even though they have no fighting experience. They're like instant fighting. And that's why you see all these funny clips on Instagram and whatnot with people swinging punches and punching the air, falling on their face because they have no balance. I love it. Love it.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is, I remember my teammate telling me this story when he used to be a bouncer. Mm-hmm. And there's a scuffle going on. He runs over to kind of try to, you know, extinguish it, and he put his hand on a guy's shoulder like really hard, not to be aggressive or anything, but it's just like, and the guy fell. He goes, oh snap, I forget regular people don't have good balance. I started thinking about that, and, you know, and that was still early on, you know. I was like, oh, I get it now, years later. You know, just as you're like fighting for position, you know, going for foot sweeps, is like there's something to that balance, whereas you're doing that with somebody that's never trained before, oh, they're going to the ground pretty quickly. But yeah, it's there is a thing about folks who don't train, who always want to get into fights. And it's like, I was explaining to my wife one time, it's like there's a thing about violence that I don't think people really get. Like, yes, you can be someone that grew up in a rough neighborhood and fought all the time as a kid, but there's still not a healthy respect for violence and understanding of it. Whereas we practice this shit multiple times per week, and we have this respect for each other and other people's well-being and just the art, because, you know, you could be out on the street and there's an altercation. More than likely, you know, anyone that's training, not just jiu-jitsu, but any martial art, you're going to want to try to talk that situation down. Like, the last resort is physical violence, because, you know, let's come into this level-headed. Most people aren't level-headed. Most people get into this high anxiety moment, and then, you know, they want to fight. And like, I think a lot of us, when that high anxiety hits, or those moments of high anxiety hit, we can stay a little bit cooler and try to extinguish it, and, you know, hopefully avoid any altercation. But, you know, sometimes folks just really want to push the levers and say, especially if they know that you train, you're like, oh, here comes the tough guys. Like, no, I'm not the tough guy. I'm just Dante.
Leave me alone. Okay. Yeah, basically. Also, I realized, like, even things like driving my car, I used to be a crazy, I used to get triggered by people honking at me, but I would be so frustrated. Like, I would turn red. people trying to cut me off. Whereas now it's like, okay, you're a jerk. I'm off to my day now. I couldn't care less. It's not worth my. Oh, you want to race me? I don't give a shit. That's when I go do my shit. Like, leave me alone.
I still get triggered by like horns honking. I don't know why, but it's more of like if somebody honks their horn, and it might not even be at me. I just hear a horn. Yeah, honk. I say, fuck you.
Freak out. And all horns are loud too. Now there's like no like warning horn. It's like just one mode, super loud.
Yeah, it's like we horns have been around for a very long time. You would figure by some point in life that they would have, I don't know, figured out some different adjustments to this. Like maybe the friendly honk, like, hey, the light's green, or hey, asshole, you know, almost hit me, or like, hey, you know, you saying hi to a friend, like one of those honks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because whenever I hear, if I hear a horn honk, like I immediately just like, yo, fuck you, buddy. And it's like, it's not even near me. The horn's not even remotely close to me. And I'm just like, man, fuck that guy. Like, he don't know what the fuck, you know, you don't know where I'm going. I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you this way? Like, I don't know. What, like, I drive, like, well, part of my job is driving. Once we get to the location, I'm not driving anymore. But, like, I have a big old van for work, and I lug people around in it. And it's like most days, it's like, hey, can we just do something where we don't have to drive a lot? Like, let's go to the library. Mm-hmm. Or something. The library is very close. So it's like 5 minutes from, you know, the homes. I'm like, hey, let's go here. But if we got to go like on an extended trip, it's like,
I know. God damn.
Fuck.
You had me, like, long. You guys want to go?
Like, where do you want to go? Guys, why do we got to go to the DC Zoo? Like, I don't even want to. Like, no, let's not do that. Can we do something else? There's a lake nearby. Let's go walk around that. But yeah, we all have our goofy little triggers that, you know, we've managed better versus, you know, against somebody who doesn't train. Yeah. You know, again, you see so many road rage situations where people are getting killed, you know, and it's all over like a fender bender. It's like, you know, like, why are we hurting each other over, like, your insurance premium maybe going up a little bit? Like, you don't need to punch somebody in the face over that. Yeah. Like, be happy. Like, hug them. Like, oh my God. Like, are you okay? Like, yeah. Like, shoot, that sucks. You busted my car up. But your insurance is going to pay for it. So it's cool. But are you okay? We're fine. All right. Good. Yeah. Be grateful.
Depends person. And also, like, even like, I use my son's school as an example. Even just walking, because I'm his bus driver. He doesn't take the bus. Even though we're relatively close, I'm his bus driver for life now. But when I drop them off and I'm walking them to the school, there's some people, just by the way they present, the way they speak out loud, some parents are just frustrated. Oh, this fucking guy and this and that, and I'm gonna fucking deal with this tomorrow. Like, holy shit, dude, your kid's there, you're already talking. Like, a lot of people have something in them that's, they become like almost, I feel like they want to fight or just yell or instant fight with anyone. I'm like, God, you need martial arts. You need something. You can't just be this violent in front of your kids, or like even just a complete stranger. I'm like, I'm walking. Like, holy shit! I'm like, am I gonna? Is she gonna punch me? Like, I don't know. Oh man, regular people. Yeah.
People need to get humbled. You know that, and that's what happened with me with martial arts. Because before jiu-jitsu, I was that guy. Like, I was unhinged. I was yelling at people. Well, not yelling at people unnecessarily, because I worked in customer service. So, well, I've worked in customer service, but like also, again, being a, you know, a teacher, you know, it is always a matter of like, be respectful, you know, towards students, because if you want them to respect you, you got to respect them. You know, it goes both ways. So, you know, I never yell at people in public. I never yell at cashiers. I never, you know, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
But I was always on edge and ready. Like, if I need to swing on somebody, I'm ready to swing on someone. And it's like, not necessary though, dude. And after going to jiu-jitsu and realizing how powerless I really am, it was like, oh, I'm glad nothing really serious ever happened, because I would have been killed. Or sometimes you see somebody that's super unassuming. Like, there was a guy we used to play poker with. And my buddy, my buddy doesn't train. He's never trained. I don't think he's ever going to train. You know, we talk about it every week. We've had guests on our other podcasts that train. And he's like, yeah, I'm interested. It's like, you're not interested. But, you know, go off home. But it's like we were playing poker one night with this guy. And this guy and I would always kind of get into it, just always argue. And I was like, dude, I will fuck that kid up. I will like destroy him if I need to. But you know, we always try to keep it civil because we're playing poker at somebody's house. So, you know, you don't want to make a scene at someone's home. I mean, he was never invited to my home for poker because I don't give a fuck about my house. Like we can destroy this son of a bitch. like I'm gonna make you clean it up. But I remember on maybe Facebook or maybe even MySpace, you know, the olden days. I remember seeing him in a gi and, you know, a yellow belt. So I was like, oh, he does some martial arts. And I know his younger brother wrestled. Mm-hmm. And over time, you know, we lost contact with him. But once I started doing jiu-jitsu, I remember he and I at one point had a MMA conversation. And, you know, I started thinking back on it. And I was like, you know, I'm glad he and I never got into it because, you know, I think he was doing jiu-jitsu. This was like, I want to say 2003,
okay,
maybe 2004, sometime around there. So like, I think he was doing jiu-jitsu and I wasn't. So I would have gone into the situation ready to like pound him and he probably would have folded me up and like thrown me in the fucking laundry chute. And I would have like, fuck. Now, you know, I keep telling my buddy, you know, this as we're talking, he's like, no, you'd easily kill that dude. And I was like, I'm glad you're confident in me, but I mean, there's a high likelihood that I probably would not have. Yeah. You know, now who knows? I mean, if he's been training all this time, though, he'd probably, who knows where hopefully he's a black belt by now. I'm not. I'm not even close. But it's like the old Dante was ready to fight and not even thinking about who they're fighting. I was just like, let's go. I'm ready to get down and dirty. Yeah, I see red. Dude, those I see red dudes. Ooh, I my old manager at my previous job, she used to always say, oh, I would see red and black. I was like, you can black out all you want. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to foot sweep you and, you know, hit you with a neon belly and watch you poop yourself. And wait, then you're going to brown out.
I love these UFC analysts. They're a special breed of people. I love them. I would have just I would have just drop kicked him to the face. Can you even kick that high? Can you know what a drop kick is? Can you do a spinning kick? You watch too much fucking action movies, too much UFC that they become UFC. They are the analyst fighter. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love those people, man. Those people, I want them to roll. I want them to be
Yeah. Ooh, we were watching UFC 299 and the Gilbert Burns fight was on. Gilbert Burns, I think he was in pretty safe control of the fight for the most part when it came to grappling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He ended up getting knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
But my old neighbor was here and, you know, they got pumped when he got knocked out. And, you know, the other neighbor goes, that's what you get for, you know, making the fight boring and lying down on them. And I was like, okay, so I don't want to flex this on you guys, but let me just say this. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing as a fighter. He's controlling the fight. He's winning the fight. It may not be entertaining to you. I get that it's entertainment, but if you tell me that, you know, and one of the neighbors, he's actually come into jiu-jitsu and trained with me a little bit. The other one, I think his son was trained, and I don't know if he's ever trained, though. It doesn't sound like he's ever trained. And then my childhood friend, she was here. And, I said to my old neighbors, like, look, if you and I were standing up fighting right now and you're a boxer and I'm a grappler, I'm not going to stand up and strike with you. I'm going to take you to the ground. And if my ability to hold you on the ground is better than your ability to get up and knock me out, you fucking lose. That's how a fight goes. It's like, whether it's entertaining or boring or not, the fact is I won that fight, because if I can get you to the ground and I can limit your ability to move, and I can choke you unconscious or just start, you know, raining shots down on you, or I can like joint lock you and, you know, get a wrist lock or an arm bar or something, I win. Like, that's just how it goes. And that's not to say these guys that watch the fight, because we watch the fights every month together, you know, they know that, you know, they get it, but it's just like, it blows my mind when people are like, you know, that's not a fight. That's not how you fight. And it's like, well, it is. It's exactly how you fight.
People are used to like Mike Tyson style, you know, all, you know, hooks and big power shots. That's what they want. That's what the excitement is, right? They don't understand going to the ground. So like when someone goes to the ground, they're attempting a triangle. I'm like, holy shit, he's gonna go for it. He's not. Oh, yeah. Like, but regular people are like, the fuck was that? Was he trying to fart on him? What was he trying to do? Like some kind of sexual position here? That's Jesus and strangle him out. But
I remember early on watching fights at, again, another poker game. So this is when UFC was on Fox. Mm. It was still very, very new to Fox. And I was excited. But I remember when they announced all that, and I was like, I'm not excited for UFC and MMA in itself to become super mainstream. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of folks are going to be watching this for one reason, and you're not really, you know, it's like, you know, I want to see knockouts. I want to see chaos. And I was like, well, I mean, I want to see, like, I want to see, you know, a fighter with whatever skill set, you know, if they come into a challenge, can they overcome that challenge? I'm looking for, like, people overcoming adversity. I'm looking for, like, a, you know, interesting matchup. You know, oh, that guy's a wrestler. Oh, that guy's going to take you to the ground and just fuck you up. I mean, it's not interesting, but, you know, that's what it is. Oh, well. But I remember, you know, that one of those fight cards on Fox, we're playing poker, and one of my friends was like, oh, God, they're laying on the ground again. It's just so dumb. Like, I was like, I mean, it's like, it's a fight. That's what it is. I think I might have just been training at this point for maybe a couple months, not even. And, you know, so as a white belt, I'm talking shit. Well, not like big shit, but I was like, I mean, we can go out in the backyard. I mean, I could show you how this works. Now, with that guy, I know he probably would not have fucked me up. I would have drowned him. But there are some other guys that is like, I probably like, oh, we can go out back and I can show you, you know, how this works. And they probably would have fucking punted me across the fucking neighborhood, and I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. This jiu-jitsu shit doesn't work at all.
It's fucking fake shit.
They've been lying to me all along. That guy who choked me with my shirt. Dickhead.
Jiu-jitsu my ass.
But yeah, that's just, you know, the beauty of it though is, like, you know, you have your inside language, your inside understanding, and folks on the outside, you know, unless you're open-minded, you know, most folks are just going to look at it and just see, like, oh, like my wife's best friend, she thinks like, oh, it's just, you know, a bunch of bullies, you know, human cockfighting, you know, kids who do jiu-jitsu just want to go out and start fights. And it's like, actually, it's the exact opposite. So, you know, like, before you talk shit, I think their kid was in Taekwondo, and I'm not trying to shit on Taekwondo by any means, but remember she asked, because this was when I was coaching. She asked my wife, when Dante's coaching, do they talk about the history of jiu-jitsu with the kids? Because they talk about the history of Taekwondo with the kids here. I was like, and I told my wife, I was like, look, next time you guys are talking, you let her know that I said, no, we don't talk about the history of jiu-jitsu with the kids because we're too busy learning how to do jiu-jitsu with the kids. Like, fuck. I'm angry now.
History class.
I need everybody to open their textbooks up. You know, it's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, no, we're too busy learning jiu-jitsu. I mean, and you know, we do talk, you know, about, you know, the art, you know, we talk about respect and all these things, but, you know, it's not like, and honestly, they probably do that too at Taekwondo the exact way that I'm thinking, but it's just the way that she worded the question.
It's the way she probably got you triggered.
Yeah, it's like, because she always has something kind of like weird to say about jiu-jitsu. And it's like, and for the longest time, because I knew she was following me on Facebook, I would put up a lot of posts that say, if you never step foot on the mat, you don't know shit. And it was just like constant posts like that, maybe 2-3 times a week. It was like, I know she's reading these. And then I think anytime I would go over and, you know, hang out with the family, I just have the kids like, okay, like do this. And the kids are like, oh, dude, I love this. I want to learn more. And I was like, yeah, your parents aren't going to put you in jiu-jitsu. Like, go ahead and enjoy your taekwondo. I mean, you know, again, it has its value as well. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think all jiu-jitsu or all martial arts, it has its value and its limits.
Yeah.
So that's where MMA comes into play.
Yeah.
So with, you know, getting into jiu-jitsu and you know, really kind of embracing it, how did you transition into the social media aspect of it and the podcasting aspect as well?
This was just one big mistake, I think. I was not supposed to be here, Dante. It just happened, just like jiu-jitsu. It just happened. I didn't, not amazing story, just, you know, I wanted to make fun of, as soon as I started liking jiu-jitsu, I knew that there was stuff to be made fun of. And I'm like, this shit ain't normal. Like, think about it. Grown-ass men and women paying money monthly to be strangled. Why? And why am I stuck in North South? Why is this comfortable? Why? What's this joke? What is, you're learning this language outside of like English. It's like a jiu-jitsu language. Like, you get all these little jokes on, you know, what's that one called? The oil. Like, if you don't understand jiu-jitsu, you don't know what oil checking is. I understood what it was, and holy shit. So you make jokes on that. It just build up and build up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start an Instagram channel. Let's see where it goes from there. And that's it. I started with memes. Then I made reels. Then one day, my friend William, who actually got me started in jiu-jitsu, he's like, okay, Marco, you need to do a podcast. I'm like, why? Why would I do that? Like, why would I want to do a podcast? And I wasn't really keen on podcasts because I don't like put my face. And, like, I love to talk to people. I love to meet people, but I never thought technology. I learned podcasting, all this stuff, and the mic and the camera and all this shit. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be good. I'm just going to fail. But here I am today. I'm doing okay. I like it. It's fun. It's the most rewarding thing from podcasting, believe it or not, is because when people hear the word podcasting, they automatically think Joe Rogan and multi-million dollars. Yeah, I'm not making money doing this. I'm doing this for clear love because it's fucking fun to do. And I meet people worldwide. I have a cool community that expands worldwide. Like people from, like you were saying before, like Spain, like Australia, like people are following me. They listen to the shit I do. This thing, the stupid shit I say. And apparently it's funny sometimes. I just find it funny to myself. If I can make my wife laugh, who does not understand a thing about jiu-jitsu, I show her a reel. It's funny. She laughs. I'm like, okay, it's good. Society will understand. And that's it. That's all. It was one big accident. I didn't. All this shit now. Lights and stuff and mics. And I love my mic, though. But I love my camera, too. But it's fun. You know, it's. I'm a nerd. I like to get nerdy, geeky stuff. So when I get tech stuff involved, so I love mics now. I love my LEDs. I can figure out my toys here, put them all here. My son unboxed most of my toys, so some of them are here. Sometimes I put his toys here. It's just one big roller coaster ride of what the fuck happened, and here I am today. And yeah, it's been fun, Dante. It's been fun. It's like, will I make a living off this? No, I won't probably. But, you know, do my day job. I work from home and I do this for fun. And fuck, that's it, man. I have zero stress from this. Zero stress.
I think that's the biggest thing about all of this is just that it's fun for us. With like, this is a hobby that we are enjoying. And we don't look at it like, oh, I gotta nail this next episode. Otherwise, the mortgage ain't getting paid.
Yeah,
like I never, if that's ever the case with the podcast, it's no longer fun. Yeah. And I won't do it. Like, at least for me, I had a friend who he started a podcast. He actually started a podcast before me, and I was a guest on their podcast. And We sat down one day and talked, and he goes, man, I was just really hoping this would take off and, you know, I can quit my day job. And I was like, dude, I'm a part of another podcast from time to time that's been rolling for close to 10 years now. And I was like, look, they've got ungodly amounts of followers and listeners. They don't have any sponsors at all. They have a huge following. Like, they don't make, they, you know, they make some money from it with like additional content on Patreon.
Yeah.
But I was like, and that's them. They have a base. Like, you need to have, like, you can't just walk into the podcast arena and say, here I am, sponsors, come give me money. Here I am, guys, come listen. Like, yeah. Like, even with BJJ Wiki, I think when I started Off the Mat, I want to say I was probably around 70,000 followers. And I think a lot of people thought, oh my God, you got 70,000 followers. That means you're going to have 70,000 listeners. No, not at all. Not even close. Like, but that would be weird to me, though, too, to have 70,000 people listening to my podcast. It's like, dude. Half the time, the audio's not that good. Half the time, I forget what we're talking about. Half the time, I ask a question, and then, like, you know, I get a different, like, it's the answer to the question isn't even related to the question.
Yeah.
So it's like don't come to my podcast thinking, like, 70,000 people should listen to Dante. Like, no. Like, maybe, like, 100 people. You know, I'm cool with that. 100, yeah. A couple hundred here and there. I'm fine with that. Like, I'm not stressing that. But I, like you said, there's no stress to this. For like, I think for us, I do know some folks that do record their podcast and they're very stressed with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to tell them. I just, like I said, for this show, anyone that comes on, the first thing I say to them, especially if they're new to podcasts and they've never done it, I'm like, yo, just chill. Like, we're here to have fun.
Yeah.
Like, let's laugh. Let's crack jokes. I'm going to ask you about your journey. You tell me, and then we are going to talk about anything. If you want to talk about folding chairs, tell me your best story about folding chairs. I was
dying for you to ask about folding chairs. Finally said it. Dive into that later. But that's the thing about, like, social media. Like, people want to get into social media, like podcasting and shit. They think, like, if you're going to start and say, I want to, like, this to, like, be a home run right away, then it's not the right thing for you, my dudes and dudettes, because it's, you have to fucking love it, because no one's going to give you X amount of money right away off the bat. And even if you do, you're going to, like, run, you're going to burn out, really. You're going to burn, I don't want to burn out. I had to tone things down a bit. I had to, at one point, doing two shows a week, it stressed me out, because, oh, fuck, dude, once a week, if that person can't make it, shit happens, you know. Stuff like me with me and you, like my dad, stuff with my dad, oh, we schedule again and again, and shit happens, man. That's it. We get to do it later on in life, and that's all. It's like, and there's all like multi-million-dollar viewers, all this shit, and sponsors. Like, calm down. We're two dudes or dude and women talking shit. Say whatever you want. Swear, don't swear. I don't care. You're on camera. Yeah. Let's have fun.
And you know, that's the thing too. It's like, when it comes to the stress of, like, so in the beginning, I really did stress, because episode one was my teammate. He does the 1 year anniversary episode with me every year. We do it in August. So that, like, that is his episode. No one else gets to do that one. It's just his. It is fucked up because we don't record any other time. And I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, there are other times we can record, but, like, you have to have August. But he and I recorded, and I was going to record with another former teammate. And he says to me, episode one teammate says to me, you might want to book someone else as reserve, just in case, because, you know, he has a tendency to, you know, have a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, he may not be able to make it. So I was like, okay, I'll keep that in mind. So he messages me 2 days prior. Hey, man, I can't make it.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck. All right. So because of this community we have, though, in jiu-jitsu, I was able to pull someone very quickly. And they were like, look, we can record this tonight. And I was like, well, I'm not ready. can we go tomorrow though? And it was perfect. And then, so I talked to the other teammate, let's do episode 3. He said, okay. He backed out again. All right. So I had to pull one of my guys from Nerd Rage Radio. It's like, hey, Joe, you know, trying to do this. It was like, of course. So finally I get episode 4. And now those first 4 episodes, though, was so nerve wracking because all of this had me doubting myself. It had me thinking, like, maybe I'm not ready to do a podcast. And once we got to about episode, I want to say 17 or 18, that's where I really felt like, okay, we're here. Mm-hmm. Now we can start playing with things. We can start doing themes if we want. I think we might have gotten music by that point. And it was like, okay, now I found my stride. And then I expanded. I was like, well, fuck it. Let's do a second podcast. You know, I sat with a buddy. He was like, you want to do a podcast? I was like, yeah. What do you want to do it about? I don't know. Well, let's just start recording. And then it just, we're drinking beer. And it was like, you know, what would you give this beer? Like on a scale 1 through 10. And then we ended up reviewing beers. So, you know, and then somewhere along the line, I was like, you know what? I feel comfortable and confident. Let's do a third podcast. Like, let's talk about scary movies. And, you know, and you know, but the thing is, people like look at that and they say, oh, well, you got this platform now. Mm-hmm. You must be making money. And it's like, you should monetize it. And I don't know that, like, I like how I do things because I get to do them the way I want to do them without people stressing me about, well, we're paying you this much, so you have to do it our way. It's like, no.
Yeah.
I like to cuss. I you know, I like to, you know, like you and I, we had to, you know, maneuver the schedule a little bit. And it, you know, it's like, but I never at any one point having someone tell me like, well, you say you're going to have Marco on this week. Well, like life happens. Like, you know, Marco will be on when Marco can be on. Like,
damn right, like, man. My hair wasn't ready. Like, shit.
Like, yeah. get the fuck off my back, son.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, but that's just the thing. It's like, it's stress-free for us, you know, to some degree. And it's fun. It's what we want to do. And I know I can say from my own end, what I really pull from this is like having conversations with individuals like yourself, my friend Tiana Taylor out in Spain, you know, Zach out in Arkansas, you know, like I get to talk to other people and hear their viewpoints. And like Christian Slater said in an interview with The Vampire, I'm a collector of lives. Mm. You know, I like to sit down and talk with people, get their stories. You know, if you had something just recently happen, if you just competed, it's like, come on and tell me about it. You know, let's hear that experience. And, you know, one thing that I think, you know, you and I were talking about this in DMs recently, because you recently had Tom DeBlas on.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, dude, that's wow. It was like, I feel like for me talking to him, it's like, I wouldn't know what to talk about. You know, like I us here, we're sitting here just kicking in bullshit. And it's like, I just feel like I got to tell, like, hey, man, so I got to have something structured for this guy. And I always tell people when it comes to this podcast, I want to get people on here who don't normally get to put their story out there.
Yeah,
because I got teammates who have fascinating stories, but no one's going to hear that story. So I was like, well, come on this podcast. At least 100 people will hear it. You know, then I tell them to tell a friend, and then maybe 200 people will hear it. And then, you know, but versus if, like, you know, I had a guest who ended up with their own podcast and they interviewed GSP.
Mm-hmm.
That's super fucking cool. That's like my favorite fighter of all time. Couldn't be me, though.
Speaking of GSP, true story. I met him once at a spa with my wife. But me being me, super excited, I ran up to him like, oh, GSP. And he was really nice. Like, yes, that's me. I'm like, oh, so nice to meet you. I shook his hand. He spoke to me a bit, my wife, and that was it. But I was so, like, starstruck. I'm like, fuck, I can never do that shit again. So when Tom came on my show, I'm like, okay, I gotta be chill. I'm just gonna keep it professional. Don't be that inner child of me and say, fuck yeah, Tom, you're here. And that's, you know, I was like, yeah, that was a good time with JSP. I'm sure he'll never remember me, but whatever. I just can't do that shit again. It was like, I turned to my left and he just appeared. I'm like, holy shit, he's here. It was an amazing feeling.
Like, I don't, you know, I always tell myself, like, oh, I wouldn't get starstruck at all. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah, I guess, you know, I say that now because I haven't really met any stars, but, you know, you meet a star and you're like, holy shit, it's you. Do you know who you are?
Like, you go numb for like 3 seconds and your face drops. And then you like do a double take. Yeah, it is him. And then you tell your wife or whoever's next to you, like, and you do like a triple take. And like, yeah, it's him. Then you run to him just to freak them out. Like,
I had former UFC fighter Ashley Yoder on the podcast. And to me at the time, it was a big deal. This was still early on in the podcast. So I didn't really know what the fuck I was doing. But I asked her to be on. She was like, yeah, I'll be on. And she could only give me 20 minutes. I was like, fuck. I don't know what to do with it. But someone actually gave me the bright idea to actually do a compilation episode. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to have Ashley. And then I got 5 other women. And someone did like a cover graphic. And it was me as Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet and all of their pictures as the stones. I was like, dude. This is perfect. But but talking with her, I was a little starstruck just because, like, I'm a fan, you know, I will watch her fights. So I thought she was an exciting fighter. And I was like, God, I don't know what to do. And then it turns out she was just super down to earth and just like laid back and just laughing and making jokes. And I was like, wow, this isn't, oh wow, like you are people. Okay. This is cool.
You are people. You're human. It's kind of true though, because like I had Zoltan from the group Five Finger Death Punch, and I told him, Zoltan, 15-20 minutes. I'm blessed more than enough. This guy gave me over an hour, and I had to stop him just because I had to fucking piss so bad. So I ended up the show like myself after an hour. I think it was more than like he blessed me with an hour. And even that, my software was telling me that his part of the conversation didn't record. So I went to like pre-heart attack mode. I'm like, hold on. I say, Marco, what's wrong? I don't think your episode uploaded properly. We might have, he's like, no worry, Marco. He's like, Tuesday, I do no gi. I'll squeeze in after that. We do no gi. He was willing to redo the episode again. But luckily, after we signed off, it did sync. It was just like a bug in the UI. But just to say, the guy spoke for an hour. He was willing to redo it again. What an awesome ending, because it's like he's one of my biggest fans and my favorite bands. And like, do you know they say don't meet your heroes? I fucking love meeting him. It was such an honor. And he's such a normal guy. And I DM him once in a while. He DMs me back. It's like, there's awesome people out there, man. Don't just judge them by, you know, their superstardom. They are normal human people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's, you know, one of those weird things about, like you just said, they're normal people, but, you know, we see them in this lens where we only get these bite-sized views of them, you know, like red carpets, or, you know, even if you just consider a movie, like, you know, you might get a bigger view of them, or if, you know, you're watching a fighter. But the thing is, you're not getting a glimpse into who they are as a person. You're just seeing what they're presenting. So then we build this narrative of who we think they might be, whether it's like, oh, I'm a big fan, so I want them to be super sweet. And they could say, like, you know, simply like, hey, you know, can I get an autograph? And they might be in a rush and they might say, no, I can't do it right now. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, that guy's an asshole. I'm like, no, they're in a rush. I mean, my buddies over at Nerd Rage Radio, they were at San Diego Comic-Con one year and they ran into Rosario Dawson and they just simply, you know, they saw her and it was kind of like they weren't looking for it. They just saw, you know, stars are there. And they saw her and they were like, oh my God, like Rosario Dawson is just standing there. It was like, hey, do you mind if we get a picture? And she was like, yeah, actually, that, you know, that's super cool, but I'm in a rush. So, like, come with me. So they go running across the convention center because she had an interview coming up. Like, she was like, you know, so they're like running with Rosario Dawson. She's like super cool, like talking with them and like holding a conversation. Once they got there, they got the picture, and it was just this thing of like hearing about this celebrity. It's like, oh, like, and I've always thought, like, you know, she seems like she's really, really fucking cool. And then like hearing them tell that, so I was like, it might be confirmed that she's really super fucking cool. And you know, you got some stars, like, I hear, I don't know, but you know, I've been hearing Anna Kendrick, I think it is, the girl from Pitch Perfect. That's the thing. Okay. Pitch Perfect. Like, I always think when I see, it's like, oh, she looks really cool and really sweet, but like apparently people are like, oh, like, she's kind of a bitch. Like, she's like really? I hope not, because she looks like she's really, really cool. Like, she looks like she, you know, has a good time with the things she does. Like, there's been stuff coming out about Taylor Swift being really mean and being a bully, you know, to people behind the scenes. And it's like, I feel like sometimes, you know, we get so wrapped up with celebrities.
Yeah.
That we have a like, you know, it's like, you know, building a star up.
Yeah.
And then we want to knock the star down.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how Taylor Swift is as a person. She looks like she's probably a nice person. She looks like she's an equestrian, probably rides horses. And that's cool. You know, like, you know, taking care of horses is really cool. But, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to celebrities, if you encounter someone, factor in that they are human. If they're in a rush, or if they're at dinner with their family and they don't want to take a picture with you, they're not being an asshole. They're eating dinner with their family. Maybe you're being an asshole for asking them to take a picture while they're eating dinner with their family. So, you know, just my thoughts.
Trying to think of someone who might appear like an asshole and might be an asshole according to social media. Our famous Aikido master.
Oh.
Steven Sensei Seagal.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard a story of him actually not being an asshole, though. I feel like that might actually be his personality. So,
yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll meet him someday, and he's the sweetest guy on earth. Or, you know, for all we know.
And he might be training all the UFC fighters, and he actually is a badass. And Aikido is legit. It might be legit. Actually, Aikido is legit in its form, just not in practical martial arts or in the streets. Like, people don't know, Aikido is trained to disarm samurai swords, or back in the day, disarm swords. That was the style of Aikido. So I don't have a samurai sword with me. I don't think people are walking around with samurai swords, so it's not effective today. So yeah, Mr. Seagal.
Hey. Well, and that's the beauty again of mixed martial arts, though. It's like, I think Aikido works if you blend it with some other stuff, you know. Like, jiu-jitsu works, you know, it's not going to work directly. Like, you know, again, if you're standing up, you got to get that fight to the ground. You mix some jiu-jitsu with some wrestling, you're definitely going to, you know, have the upper hand. So I think a lot of these things you do have to kind of blend with other stuff. Aikido especially, because that's just not some shit. I remember a guy I worked with, he took Aikido. When he found out I did jiu-jitsu, he was like, oh, I did Aikido. And I was like, oh, whippy. And he goes, look, you know, he's talking about like a scenario, like if we're in a fight, he would do this. And I was like, you would absolutely not do that. I promise you. Now, he had big hands, though. I told him, you know what you would be successful in? Knocking me the fuck out. Like, those fucking canned hams that you're holding right there, I would have minimum power against that shit. Like, you hit me, I'm definitely going to play dead.
Yeah, or what's it called? Me thinking about Rob from McDojo Life when he came on, like talking about like fucking chi, my dudes, and dude, that's fucking that inner chi shit. It's pandemic chi now. It's like it's getting worse and worse with social media. Like, it's, I don't even want how to explain it anymore. Just like fucking, it's there, man. You gotta release it from your pelvis into your lips, into your ear. Oh, you didn't shrug your shoulders right. The chi's not there. Oh fuck, we're doomed
as
human beings sometimes.
It's like, dude, like, what was it? Like, one of my old neighbors from childhood, we're talking, I think we were doing like fantasy football or some shit, and we're talking one day, he's like, yeah, you do jujitsu now? He was like, it's weird that you're doing jujitsu. I think you're the last person we should be teaching any kind of harmful arts to. I was like, dude, I'm a much different person now. I'm so much more chill now because of jujitsu. He was like, yeah, I want to learn Tai Chi. And I was like, okay, that's fine. That's cool in the game. Why don't you come do some jujitsu with me, though? Now, I don't think I really want to do jujitsu with you. Like, okay. Like, there are other gyms. look, dude, just go learn a martial art. Just any of them is fine. Like, because yeah. I think, again, you know, the big thing is learning a martial art in a lot of ways will humble you. It'll show you, like, when you think, oh, I'm a badass, I can do this and I can do that. And really, like, you get your ass kicked enough, you know, in practice, you start to, like, understand that maybe, just maybe, like, I'm not as badass as I thought I was. So at least that's what happened with jiu-jitsu with me when I got beat up by a kid. I was just like, okay, this isn't good. Like, that child just fucked me up. I think just in the space that we're in, all of our spaces, whether it be in jiu-jitsu, whether it be in social media content creation and podcasting, as long as you're doing what you enjoy and you're not stressed by it, fucking have a blast.
Yeah.
The second that it becomes stressful, it ain't fun.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, I guess one of the last things I want to ask you, you know, as you say, you know, you got toys and everything, and your kids unboxing your stuff. What toys you got? What you collecting?
Well, back in the day, so I fell in love with the Spawn movies. So I have a lot of Spawn originals, lot of them certified comic books. I have some. I used to do a lot of, like, garage sale hunting. So I used to go to, like, random spots and just, like, look for old comic books. I have a few of them. I have a lot of hockey cards, toys. My son opened a lot of my toys from Spawn. So for the value, I don't care. They're still there. They're not on the original box anymore. I used to keep them in a box full of, and then I would wrap the box, put it in another box with styrofoam and all that. I used to go crazy. But Spawn is, I really love that movie, Spawn. But yeah, that's my go-to, really. X-Men, everything. I fell in love with X-Men as a child, too. That was, like, my number one show. Now it's coming back on Disney, that I don't have Disney Channel. Will I get Disney Channel? Maybe for a month or so. Who knows? Or maybe I'll just download on the internet. We shall see how it goes, Dante. But yeah, a lot of random toys here. Never too old. Never too old.
I agree. I agree. We're in the same boat with the X-Men thing. That's actually how
I saw your toys. I saw them.
It wasn't meant to be this way. It all started with a Scarlet Witch figure and then an X-Men wave. And then I was like, you know what? Let's just get the 90s team. And then the 90s team turned into, let's just get the blue and gold X-Men team. Let's get X-Factor from the 90s. X-Factor. Let's get X-Force. Let's get the Excalibur. Let's get New Mutant. They haven't really done the New Mutants figures.
Yeah.
It turned into, like, what I got over here, the Reavers, I got Sinister, Strife, I got Sarah. It's like, as I started looking around, I was like, I keep telling myself, and I am getting to an end point, because they're making less and less. Like, I have all the things I need.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's less to want, but then I start creating reasons to buy, like, because of buying certain sets, you get a bunch of different Avengers. So I started thinking, I was like, who's all in the Avengers? Because everyone's in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And now I have a table behind me with, I don't even know how many, but there's probably 40 to 50 figures on that table who have all been in the Avengers at some point.
Yeah.
And then I have a Spider-Verse table. It's a Wolverine shelf, like, for no reason, just because every set comes with Wolverine. So I was like, fine. I'm looking up at Wakanda above me right here. And it's like, and the thing is, my wife, she goes along with it.
She just walks in.
She's, well, she,
What have I married?
She was at, yeah, she was like, well, that, so years ago, before I started collecting, I saw the old Toy Biz X-Force figures. And someone was selling them for about $30, the full set. And I was like,
shit,
that's not hateful. So I says to her, I was like, I want to get this. And she goes, for what? And I was like, well, I mean,
they're giving away.
I don't know. They have them on the shelf. I think they're cool. Now, mind you, my buddy Bobby, he has a basement full of childhood Transformers, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Marvel figures, Ninja Turtles, everything. And I think that's what she was like, well, we don't have that kind of space, so we're not doing that. I was like, okay, that's fine. So I bought a Scarlet Witch figure. And I was like, okay, I like, that's one of my favorite characters. I like an unhinged woman from time to time. So Scarlet Witch is my go-to. It was like, hey, you know, she lost her mind and created a whole new reality. So that you don't get more unhinged than that. And then after that, I got Scarlet Spider, because who doesn't love a good clone? And then it was like, my buddy worked for, I don't know who he worked for, but he had access to the first X-Men wave from Hasbro, ooh, like when they started doing them in 2016. I was like, bet, I want one. And my wife was like, okay, we're fine with this. We're fine with this. And then we bought the house. I was like, oh, we got space now. Like, I'm fine with it. Then one night I went out to get batteries, and I happened to see the MCU, or no, not MCU, the Netflix Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And Punisher figure, and who else was in that way? Blade, and I bought that. And I was like, well, I want to get the rest of it because I want to build the Build-A-Figure. Then I saw the Thor Ragnarok set. I was like, well, I'm going to get this because I like Hela, so I want that. And then it just became then, and now you look at this basement, and she buys the figures too. She was in Target the other day. And she sent me a picture. She looks at the basement and she goes, you have so many figures. And I go, half of these are yours. Like, you bought at least half, like maybe more than half. But I appreciate her. I you know,
the team became a team effort now.
And my daughter's, she's in now. You know, she has a Fantastic Four set because I had an extra. So I say, here you go.
All just a big bunch of nerds all coming together, uniting. Love it.
Of course. Of course. That's what we do. That's what we do. Look, if we can't unite as nerds, then, you know, why are we here?
Yeah. We're all just a big bunch of nerds. That's my mission. We're just a big bunch of undercover nerds, and you just guys don't know it yet. And I'm going to help you guys show your inner nerd. That's all.
Yeah. That's what I try to tell people. It's like, you know, we're all nerds for something.
Yeah.
Oh, you do fantasy football? Okay, nerd.
Like, you collect buttons? Come nerd. On.
Like, I like to walk into rooms sometimes and just say, what's up, nerds?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
see people's reactions.
I love that. That's my go-to now.
Most of the time they get mad. And it's like, well, you are a nerd. You like something that you're nerding out about. You're a nerd. And it's like, it's fine. It's okay. It's fine.
I got you, nerd. From one nerd to another nerd. Okay, I got you. It's whispering.
And then they're like, I'll kick your ass. I was like, oh boy. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a nerd on another level as well. I'm a nerd assassin. All right, Marco. Well, thank you for doing this again. I greatly appreciate it. And I hope your dad is doing better as well.
Out and about, living life again, and you know, it's part of life. We all gotta get strong somehow. He's fighting, he's good, but thank you. And I'm honored to be here. It was awesome. It was nice again to be on this side of the podcast, so it was really cool. I had a lot of fun, and I just realized we almost spoke for an hour and a half. And holy, really crap, I didn't realize that. Now I'm like, okay, I have to pee, so it makes sense. So,
same, that's what I'm saying. It was like, oh, that's a weird tingle. Okay, that's what that is. Before we get out of here, do you have any shout outs or mentions that you like to leave here for the listeners?
Shout outs. Oh my God. That's new. I'm all nerves and stuff, sweating and shit. Just nothing. You guys, just listen to this podcast, guys. All right. All right, my nerds. Catch up later. Oos.
And your podcast. What's that one?
Rumor on the streets and the social media. If you guys want to find out more nerds out there, you can go check out Marco or on Instagram, BJJ Tech Nerd and BJJ Tech Nerd Podcast on Spotify and YouTube. Wow, that sounds so professional, Dante. I love that. I'm not used to that stuff. Okay, I'll end on that note, nerds. Appreciate that.
All right, and I'll go ahead and make sure I put those things in the show notes for you. And as always, to the listeners, thank you. If y'all have any questions, concerns, criticisms, always feel free to reach out. You can find me at bjj.wiki on Instagram or Off the Mats Podcast on Instagram as well. I want to give a big shout out to my crew over there at Nerd Rage Radio, Bobby, Chris, Joe, Marilyn, Phil, Ricky, Tiki. You know the guys. If you've made it this far any episode, you know who it is. Nerd Rage Radio, if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be doing podcasts. So I greatly appreciate those guys over there. And I got to get back over there and do an episode again. I was on in February, Black History Month. You know what's up. And another shout out here to my other podcast, So You Like Horror. If you're into scary movies, go check it out. We are finally back on track with the cursed film stuff. So we got Twilight Zone, cursed film episode. We're working on The Omen right now. We're going to talk about all the spooky shit going on behind the scenes there. So go check that out. And we're going to do some movie reviews. You know, we had some people send us some movies. So we're going to give our opinions on it. And hopefully they don't get pissed because they ask. And last but not least, I want to give a big shout out here to our guest, Marco, over at BJJ Tech Nerd. Thank you for making the time and sharing your experiences and, you know, just making this a good time for me as a host. So thank you.
My pleasure. You're nerds unite. That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as always, the listeners, I love you guys. Thank you so much. You guys keep listening, and we're definitely going to keep making these shows. Thank you, everybody, and bye.
Deep boy with it. Now let me sing a song.